1 Corinthians chapter 3, you'll say, well, we already did that chapter, but there's a couple verses I want to read. And as you're turning, in the beginning of the year, if any of you can remember back to New Year's, it is 5 months now ago. You remember New Year's, there was lots of celebration, a lot of fireworks and things going off. And literally, the New Year came in with a bang with the fireworks over here first night. And we made lots of promises, we made lots of things, we said lots of things that we'd like to see done differently. And even as a church, the first few weeks in January, we talked about some things that were on our radar for the year. And I want to give an update on some of those areas, some areas you can be praying, and some exciting news, some cool stuff. And just as we head in, we're kind of ending a ministry season, heading into a summer. We're not checking out. It's not that we don't care about God's presence through the summer. It's just we have to recognize it's a different season for us. People will be heading in and out, and we're going to continue to celebrate life and freedom. But I want to stop and just kind of evaluate, because life seems to just, you get shot from a cannon out of New Year's and you're off and running. And it's hard with the pace of society to kind of pause. Say, okay, how are we doing? Where are we at? Do we need to adjust? How are things going? We're doing great here. We're not hitting target here. So I want to kind of do that a little bit this morning, just as a congregation, bring you up to speed. That was one of our goals, to do a little bit better job with that this year. So as we head into the summer, and then we'll pick up in the fall when we change our schedule again. 9:30, Scott, next week, right? All right. We're going to change. So are you at 1 Corinthians chapter 3? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. This is a verse that we focused on a few weeks, actually months ago now. Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, says, according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. So Paul, again, was giving them instruction that, he's letting them know there's a building happening, there's a construction happening, there's a project being, there's something materializing that wasn't there. Now, I've laid a foundation, and he says to each and every person, and I believe to each and every local congregation, let him build soberly. Let him understand what he's doing is important, and let him take care how he, she, they build. So when I come back and I look at some of the things that we're building and we're working here at City View, we want to make sure that we are taking great care in those things prayerfully, and that we're going together. That theme of togetherness is all through Corinthians, fighting for togetherness. Go together. And man, will you stop fighting so much? I think he says that over and over again, and we get that. Also, 1 Corinthians, just keep going, chapter 4, verse 15. I don't even know if you have to turn a page. 1 Corinthians 4, 15. The other verse I will read is Paul saying, for though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers, for I became a father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. So again, that speaking of that togetherness, the family, influences and father relationships. We'll look at all of that this morning. But the image that we had in the beginning of the year was that if you look out over all this land that we have and you think of this, we didn't have a whole lot of snow. It never really came this year. Some of you are excited. Some of you are pretty bummed by that. I think it's safe to say we probably won't get any more snow this year. But we got an image this year of a few inches of snow out on the lawn. And it was undisturbed. It's all flat. It looks so clean and nice. And we thought that as we lean in and we step into this year, at the end of the year, come November, December, we look back and we're going to see tracks. We're going to see things that God does in us, how we respond to certain things. And we'll kind of mess the yard up a bit, but we'll be able to kind of see how the year played out for us. And I don't know if you remember that image, if that stuck with you or not, but I want to stop here in May and kind of look to see what the yard looks like. Okay, is this, are the tracks or the designs or whatever we're doing, is that really what we're hoping to accomplish as a church and all of that? Gary Mummert, where's Gary? Gary's actually, many of you know Gary for many, many years. Gary and Sue have been with us I don't know, many, many years. And Gary's retiring. That's public. Well, it's public now, but Gary's retiring in July 5th is his last day. So he's celebrating two Independence Days, he said this year, July 4th and then the 5th, after 42 years. 44 years. Oh, I've missed the, yeah, count those last, yeah, those last few. 44 years at York International, then Johnson Controls, and he is thrilled. Sue is beyond elated to have him home and back, and, you know, they're going to spend some time traveling the world, getting to know each other again, and then we have big plans for them here, so don't be away too far or too long. But Gary, in one of our elder meetings, Gary served on the leadership team for years. He came in a couple months ago and said he was on a conference call, and the conference call began this way: "Hey, listen, nobody's getting fired, but." So that kind of set the tone and just kind of the nature of how things were unfolding there. That's not really what's happening this morning. A lot of times when I stand up here or others in front of the congregation say, "Hey, let's talk about how life is going here as a church," we almost immediately start going down, okay, who's it this time? Because we never really stop to talk about things, do we? We just plug along. Only when there's issues do we ever think, well, we need to evaluate and step back and listen. No, nobody's getting fired. It's actually good stuff. We have great things to report in a lot of different areas. A few things in terms of the renovations and updating. You'll see a lot of changes have happened in the lobby area. Some walls disappeared. I don't know, the Jannies, you came in, did you? It's like, what in the world happened here? I'm very, very happy. Rich and the team have done a tremendous job in putting that together. There's a few other things that will need to be done. You'll see the youth room, which is now called the community room, or that big room across from the kitchen. That's been painted. It's brightened it a bit. We've got to kind of put the screen in the middle. And all of this is in an effort to facilitate future ministry opportunities and growth. And it's kind of changing and updating a bit. We're certainly not done. The carpet will need to be replaced in there. There'll be some other things that are happening that we'll bring before the congregation and say, "Hey, there's some things we want to get done, and let's do it together." So we'll be asking for help, which would lead us to another huge thing. When you think in those terms, you think, okay, what about a sign? Did anybody notice it? I come in the other night, and the light, we have only one light out there, and it was pointed right into the grass. I'm like, they can't see the sign, but I think somebody pushed it over on purpose so that people couldn't see the sign at night. So I think it's about time that we put something permanent in there, and basically... Yay. Now, before you clap, I haven't given you the amount that we'll need to do that. But I keep saying, if we wait long enough, man, people will be just throwing money. Just please, for the love of God. I don't even tell people where I go to church anymore, because they're like, "Oh, that place with that purple sign that's like faded and birds have pooped and groundhogs have scratched it." The groundhogs are literally eating it. So we need to do something about that. And we will. Rich has been in contact with the township. We've been trying to be really nice to them. I don't see anybody here from the township. We try to be honorable, nice. We're jumping through hoops because we're going to need a variance to do some of the things we want to do down there. So be praying for that. If you're by Manchester Township, you know, give a couple of them some bucks here and just say, "Hey, I just really felt, I'm from City View, I just felt I need to give you a few bucks for lunch today." Take pizzas into them. But we want to put some permanency there. We have some designs. We have to, we don't just want to put it up. You know, if you know Rich is really good for me to do. He just said, "If we're going to do it, let's do it right and nice." This out here wouldn't nearly have looked the way it did if it wasn't kind of for some of Rich and some others saying, "Hey, you know what, let's just actually do it nice. Let's not just do it." So the sign is coming, I believe, this year. The sign, and as well as a cross. We talked about putting a cross in the beginning of the year, actually putting it up here on the hill, like something massive and big. That's also at the township for approval. They want to... I guess they're concerned whether it'll fall over on kids and stuff. So they have to give us some direction on a cross. So those are two exterior things. But with the sign comes landscaping and things, okay? So It's not just a sign. So Rich is talking to somebody about trees and some different things like that. Okay, so that'll all be coming. So that enthusiasm, don't let it go anywhere. But when I begin to bring some things and we look at things, don't run away either. Don't miss that week because we're going to need the help. And we can all celebrate and it'll be great. So really, and one of the things too is not only is that sign not very ugly, but it doesn't have any permanence to it. And, you know, we plant something in there, you know, hey, you know what, we've decided after 10 years we're going to stay. We're going to make a go of it. You know, there's been some years we're not sure, but I think we're okay, Melvin. We're like, all right, we're really going to make a go of it. We're going to really plant Christ on this hill and really be serious about it. So, you know, we're going to burn the boat or the sign and put a real one in there. Yeah, we could have a sign burning. That'd be awesome. The cross will be big, it will be bold, it'll be loud, and it'll be right on the front here. And I don't mean loud, like not pastel colors, Brooks, or neon or anything, but it'll be big. Somebody said we need to get one that's internally lit. So, I mean, we're not short on ideas. I'm just not sure there's technology for that. Some of you need to think about, all right, what would an internally lit cross cost? You know, we do have a mortgage that we want to pay off. So, we have a great ideas. The logo for the church, and maybe some of you don't even know we have a logo. That is coming along. Eli had come up to me a few months ago now and said, hey, how would you like to change the logo? Yes, we'd love that. And, the church logo. The logo? It has some buildings on it and a... I don't even know. It has some buildings. There it is. It's on your bulletin. Come on. Look at your bulletin. Yeah, it's yellow. So we're looking at changing some, and it'll involve some things. So we have some different designs. Eli has got some fantastic ideas, and we're adopting some of that and looking at it and all of that. So all of that we think will come, and again, we're not, hey, we need a new logo, hey, we need a new sign, like, but yeah, we do, but that's not the main thing. I don't think, if you've been coming here for any length of time, you know that's certainly not our focus, obviously. When you look around and you see the condition of some things. The carpet, we did get rid of that. That was a big step. Some people were very emotionally attached to the carpet and the stains, but we've dealt with that and moving on. So those are some very practical things where those weren't just words. There's things happening. It's just a process in developing something that suits and meets needs and before we would ever present something to you. But that'll be coming not soon enough. Very excited. Easter, we had 3 baptisms. Even this morning, I heard of several others that are interested in doing that. So we're going to be incorporating more of that in the services. Very excited. Whether that will be on a 5th Sunday or Sunday evening, so literally having a service of celebration, singing and worship and baptism and testimonies. I know we don't nearly do enough of the testimony. So Easter, I know a lot of you were online looking at and watching the videos. We need to celebrate what God's doing because he is doing a lot. It's just that many of you don't connect. You're not able to connect with each other. So the biker barbecue continues to move forward. Those of you that have been coming out, thank you for your support. All of the volunteers, thank you for your support. And just that won't happen without an army of people doing it. I think the last one, if I'm not mistaken, was the largest car show they've had. The largest attendance of cars have come. It was pretty cool, right? Am I right in that? Because I'll make this up. I'll make it sound really good. Huge car show. Yeah, 80-plus cars came out, and I think they might have sold 170 of the buffet meals, and it continues to expand. There's some other components that have been introduced that we may have coming in the next few months that'll really enhance it. But the vision of the orphans, you know, putting an event like that together to benefit the orphans with the acknowledgement that we too are all orphaned and that God has adopted us in. So really, when we think about it, well, it's for the orphans. Listen, it's for everyone. So the folks from the car show, the bikers, even our, it's just a great time to be interacting with different people with the acknowledgement that, listen, we have all been orphaned We've been adopted in, just as those kids, those of you that have been down in Guatemala, see these kids, you know, Ron, you know, that their spirits and their lives, their dispositions have completely changed because they're now in a new family that loves them. And so when we say it's about the orphans, yes, primarily we're looking to send funds down to help build and support what's happening in Guatemala, but it's also about us and everybody we run into. Without Christ, you're orphaned, you're separated from the family. But there is reconciliation. On the horizon, there is we're working to get some better reporting. I mean, these things happen, but there hasn't really been, hey, here's how we did, and here's, we want to be able to do that. That's just a matter of getting, you know, I think there's 7 people on the barbecue leadership team, all volunteers, all have lives, and so trying to get the mountain of details, you know, it's just been a work. They've done a tremendous job of getting this thing running. So some of these fine-tuned things will come out in terms of reporting. Hey, how we doing? How can we help? Today marks kind of the end of a ministry season for us, 5 months. I want to recognize the children's folks in the rotation. I know Liz is part of the craft team. Where's the rest of you that work in the children's ministry? Can I just see your hands? Beth, is Marcy around there? Is Marcy, you guys in Jen? No, she's just not. Okay. No. All right. In terms of the Lynn, Tom, come on, let me see your hands. At 9:30, actually things happen here. Those of you that just, you know, get up and you're slower moving. These people, they volunteer every single week. And sometimes even in the middle of the week, they're in here rehearsing to minister to our children. Where are our Ruth and the active people? Like Ryan served this year in the active. Ryan, you can wave. All right, there he is. They're very excited to be recognized. Ruth is here. She's helping too in some ways. Thank you, Ruth. I know well, I don't know all that you guys do. And where's Jeannie? Rich? Not Rich. He doesn't really do a whole lot down at Rich. No. But Jeannie and Matt and Brooke and the others that are Sean, DJ, those that have been helping with the youth ministry at 9:30 as well, thank you so much. You don't have children. You don't minister to children during the summer. Well, no, part of it is just to give them a little bit of a break. Plus, most of those folks are involved now in VBS. So they're hard work in VBS. I mean, I don't know what Joe's doing. I haven't seen one set yet. You act like you're busy or something. But Joe's going to need some help. If your set designs for VBS and if you're good with carpentry and all that, see Joe. Like he does it by himself, but it could be so much better, right? I mean, it could be better. It could be that. It could just be better when you're doing it together. Is what I mean. That's it. And. So anyway, we've got some really exciting, the VBS week is tremendous. This week we should have door hangers printed with our information on it, times. I don't know, how many door hangers do we have? All right, nobody knows. I don't know, it's a box full. 400 or 500 of them that we're going to give everybody, a big pile of them, it's a piece to go up to your neighbors and say, hey, you know, I want to invite you. You have children. It's just a piece for you to engage your neighbors. You just see kids around, but you've never talked to them. Now, here's a way to go over and say hi to them, invite them to VBS. So the place will be crawling with kids, and Scott's bringing the whole carnival up here, I think, and they're going to be running. maybe not. But it's a carnival theme this year, so we're really excited about the ministry to the kids and the families, okay? But we need your help for that. A couple other things that we have been working on. York Community Outreach Alliance, YCOA, the Christmas outreach. They've been going through transition with Dean. Pastor Dean is now ministering over in Lancaster. And so they're kind of discerning what their next steps are. The outreach may or may not happen. It'll happen differently, let's just say that, in the Easter season. So you can be praying for them, Sandy Resch and the team with the YCOA. A big item that I talked about at the beginning of the year was life groups. We had another life group start last week, very quietly, popped up another group. We still need many more groups, and we'll be having some leadership conversations with some of you. So we really want you to seek God, especially those of you that have been in life groups. If God is putting leadership on you to lead a group, I want you to be open to it. Now, those of you that may think the leadership's on you, and we may say, well, you know what, maybe we need to kind of guide, and maybe you need more time, or you need maybe a couple more different skills. Don't be offended at that either. But we really are looking to grow life groups in a huge way. So we're going to have some conversations with you, and we'll use any means necessary to expand. Right, Matt? Like, Matt has got a whole list of ideas. Of how to get people to do things we want them to do. And it doesn't include money. That was a great thing. It was all purely voluntary. But we really, we're moving into the summer schedule, so these groups will be flexible. So if you're in a life group, you've probably had a conversation, maybe doing some, maybe once a month instead of twice a month. But I really want you to be prayerful in terms of some of these leadership discussions. You know, we have a goal of increasing these. I really want to see them up by September. I think I said that last year at this time. But this time, Matt, he's really got some really good ideas and to really get people to do things. But we are really committed to these life groups. Tremendous growth is available there. One other item, and I'll spend the remainder of the time talking about this one, is we talked early in the year, and specifically in verse 15 of chapter 4, when Paul's saying, you have countless guides, but you don't have many fathers. I talked about the importance of us, even as a family, a larger family. You know, the church, City View Church, is made up of individual families and individuals that come together to make the larger family, the larger community of City View. We as City View family, we're largely independent. I have relationships with many pastors in the area, but we're largely a family without a family. So, and that's been a concern of mine for many years. And if you've been with us over the years, we have kind of been involved loosely with several groups over the years. Largely, maybe more pastorally led in terms of who the pastor at the time more related to. But so that's been on my mind for years now. I believe we're at a place where we are ready to kind of lean into that, begin to look, begin to pray, begin to discern, God, who would you have? How would you have us link and partner with? We're certainly not looking to join a denomination. We are not looking to be governed by anyone. We will continue. We believe in the autonomy of the local church. We believe in the plurality and parity of eldership. So that's not what we're discussing here. Sometimes our mind just goes to there. And some of you approached me after I talked about this in January, wondering, like, who are we going under? Well, that's not even the language we would necessarily use. Who are we partnering with? Who are we linking with? In terms of a global mission. And probably for the last year, I've been prayerfully looking, reading, seeing what the landscape looks like. Come January, February, really felt we were in a season to begin to really formally look. And so I've made contact with a group in where the guy is based out of New Hampshire called New Frontiers. So we've been in conversations with them. I've talked to them on the phone several times, watched a lot of media, read their books, just trying to get what are their values? Do we share these values? And they talk in terms of it being as you're in a discovery, just looking at it as a courtship. Are we compatible? Do we share similar values? And who we're becoming as City View, will this help us or will this hinder us? Will this be a struggle? We don't want to create issues. We want to be thriving and growing. We want to be a part of an organization or a body of churches that are going to help us move on and move forward and move ahead. But I've expressed the need, even personally, for apostolic relationship, for a larger body. And Paul speaks directly to it here in chapter 4, verse 15. In this context, Paul was the apostolic relationship. Like in when you read the New Testament, Paul's relationship with these churches, they were called the Pauline churches. They had relationship with him. They had their own context that they were ministering in, whether that was Ephesus or Corinth or Athens or wherever it was. But they related to him in terms of accountability, in terms of Paul would come in and speak to value issues, doctrinal issues, as a support and a help. We have none of that, which I think is not helpful, and I don't know that it's necessarily a biblical model for us. So we are going and taking steps in those directions. Next weekend, myself and three others are going to go meet the family of New Frontiers out in the Midwest. There's a regional conference in the Midwest, so we're going to actually meet them. We've talked by phone and read a lot of the material, and we want to meet the family. So Steve Mattson, Benjamin, and Rich and I will be traveling out next weekend. So I'll ask you for your prayers. And in the end of June, a few of us will be going up to New Hampshire to visit the local church. They have a couple things going on, and we want to just see what life is like at a local level for them. Next weekend will be a large conference, the Midwest Regional, where it's going to be a huge family celebration, where they just celebrate what God's doing in the family of churches. So it's going to be a bigger gathering. We will have some personal time, but the end of June will be more of an intimate time, just getting to know them getting to know us. And we're excited by that. I want to talk about why. I have three short points on why, but I want to read just a blurb from New Frontiers. There are over 850 New Frontier churches in over 60 nations and on every continent. With a passionate commitment to build the church according to New Testament principles, we believe that the most effective form of evangelism is worked out from strong local churches. Churches where each church member participates, the gifts of the Spirit are outworked, where there is joy and caring one for another, and there is a desire to make a difference in society and to reach those in need. We aim to achieve this by restoring the church, making disciples, training leaders, planting churches, and reaching the nations. That sounds like our heart. And that's right off of their website. Just a few reasons why we would look at this. Somebody, you know, I've had several. I said, why would we do that? Things are going pretty good. There's a lot of questions. And I just trust a lot of them will be answered as we move through the process. But first of all, I think it's in the Bible. These kind of relationships are biblical. I talked about them in terms of how Paul related to churches. There was an influence. There was a local expression, but an apostolic involvement. I think it'll help us, number two, with the growth within our own family. Our values of togetherness line up right on with them. The mission, both locally, globally, the word and spirit that we talked about, gosh, a year or two ago, that's one of their passions, is working that out. And they are big believers in the local church. So what it does is it allows us to have a track to run on. And In giving the context of the family analogy, it helps us it gives us a context to grow up to be who God has called us to be, just like your family is, just like our family is. It's a context for our kids to grow up and be who God has asked them to be and called them to be. But what family you're in is a big difference, is a big deal. So that's when we're looking and discerning the process here. A third one for me is the next generation. One of the things we've wrestled with here, very honestly, is transitioning to next generation. It's been a struggle here. And I think one of the things that linking relationship with a larger partner, with a larger organization, whether it's New Frontiers or another one, is that it will... give the next generation, which is youth, young adults, youth, children, even those yet to be born. I'm not looking at anybody specifically, just there's no news to report, but just there, I'm sure there'll be more coming from some people. I'll look at you, Jeannie. So. But in the context of New Frontiers, they have several gatherings for youth, young adults. They have week-long camps where then kids can be then go to church plants in Europe. And, you know, there's all kinds of things in place that it would take us forever to accomplish alone. So they have links. We could go to any continent in the world. Any theater for missions would be open to us. That's extremely exciting for us. Guatemala is great. We're committed to Guatemala and Ivan, absolutely. But not everyone here is called to Guatemala. It's a big world, and part of this for us is to raise our vision, not only to our next door neighbor, but to the nations. They have an extreme commitment to training and serving that we couldn't dream of doing what they're doing at the scale that they're doing. And it's because they're partnered together. So through a connection with New Frontiers, we would greatly benefit from the gifted leaders who relationally serve every area of the ministry. And they're an international body. So our greatest benefit necessarily wouldn't be what we receive, but it what we would be able to give. And the capacity of which we could send our children to the ends of the earth. Now let me scare some of you, and it frightens me. I think about that. I think about the decisions we're making now to put some things in place to radically change missions as we know it here. It's been quite comfortable, and it's not necessarily a good thing. And the whole thing you'll read as we, seeing how the Lord leads us, that together we can do more than we could do apart. Together, linked. New Frontiers is just, it's a family of local churches, just like we are, that share the same values and on a mission together. So we got to think away from denominations into relationally, being relational. I want to introduce you to them. I want to play a short video. It's about 9 minutes. It gives the history of New Frontiers. They are based in Brighton, UK. There's about 25 of those 850 churches are in the States. Only 25, which is exciting. I asked him, are there other churches looking at it like we are? And he said, well, we just had 3 or 4 Lutheran churches join. They got filled with the Spirit, and they had to leave the Lutheran church. So, hey, come on in. You know, extremely exciting for them. So, Terry Virgo, you'll hear him talk primarily in this video, sharing how it began. You'll get the essence of the family of churches together. And then towards the end of the video, they'll have several folks, and all they'll do is give their names, but they're various apostolic leaders from all over the country or all over the world. So these guys are in their oversight of apostolic spheres, whether it be in Africa, the Pacific Rim, Europe, UK, and Russia, and so on. So we'll take a look at the video, and now you have to pay attention because they talk a little like Benjamin. They have an accent, not Australian, but there is an accent there, so yeah. So let's take a moment and go ahead and take a look.